to be back here today. Want to thank you for the opportunity to come and deliver the message today. And Brian asked me, he said, if you had to title your message, what would it be? And, well, I'm going to call this one A Priesthood of Superheroes. So we'll see if we can make any sense of that. But this morning I chose two scripture verses for us to focus on. The first one comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The second scripture I chose comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. God, we ask today you give us a blessing on the reading of this, your holy word, and allow us to find new and creative ways to make it connect to our lives. Amen.
Amen.
So whenever someone in the days of the Old Testament would need a prayer or a blessing or whatever, they would go to the priests of the day, the religious professionals. And those religious professionals would act as kind of like mediators between them and God. Because, see, the people back then didn't feel like they had direct access to God. And then one day, this man named Jesus showed up on the scene, and he changed everything. He turned the whole religious culture upside down. And Jesus would say to groups of people as he was walking around, he would say, you, yes, you, I'm talking to you, you are the light of the world. You are called to love your neighbors as yourself. And as you do that, you will reflect the love of God to this world. And here's the really cool thing. When Jesus said these things, he would say it right in front of the religious professionals. And then one day, it was on the day of Pentecost, and Brian talked about it last week. And for those of you that remember, we're going to have a little recap. For those of you that weren't here, we'll have a quick lesson. But anyway, Brian talked about that at least last week, and we were told on the day of Pentecost that there was a group of people who followed Jesus all around, and they were gathered together in an upper room. And in the book of Acts, we're told that the Holy Spirit came upon them like a mighty rushing wind, and what looked like tongues of fire rested on each one of them, symbolizing God's gift of the Holy Spirit to each of them. You see, from that moment on, the message was clear. Anyone who follows Jesus Christ has direct access to God. Everybody who follows Jesus Christ has been given superpowers to be extraordinary people. Now I want you to imagine that. Imagine a community who humbles themselves enough to realize that they've been given supernatural powers by God. Realize it that they are superheroes. Then imagine yourself not just as ordinary, but as someone who's been given an extraordinary gift to be used by God. So let's ask this. What does a superhero look like? Well, back in the old days, the image of the superhero was someone with a square jaw, a muscular build, and a quick smile whose biggest personal problem was trying to keep their secret identities away from their girlfriends. And then a man named Stan Lee and artists Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko created a group of superheroes who revolutionized comics. These heroes, including the Fantastic Four, the Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man, X-Men, Iron Man, and even more. You see, these weren't perfect heroes who lived in a perfect world, but fallible people with physical ailments and personal problems much like our own. Now, I like these superheroes, and actually, a few weeks ago, we had watched some of the Avengers again on TV. And any of you who stream all of your television shows know that when you go back to watch something again, it'll say, because you watched the Avengers, we want to recommend these shows for you. And so a few days ago, I turned on the TV and I was scrolling through, and it says, because you watched the Avengers, we think you might like The Incredibles. And you know, as I thought about it, that's kind of the superheroes I picture us to be. Kind of like The Incredibles. You know, if you've ever seen that, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, real quick, The Incredibles is about a family of ex-superheroes who find out they still got it. And wouldn't it be incredible for us if everyone here discovered and rediscovered that we still have it too? Wouldn't it be incredible if, as followers of Jesus, we would realize that we are all part of a family of superheroes and decided to go out and serve the world? You know, I think a church like that, a church you approach the world like that, would just go out and turn the world upside down. Now, without boring you with a church history lesson, somewhere between the day of Pentecost and today, the church decided to hire a few professional Christians and then passively watch them carry out their priestly duties. And everyone else would just kind of sit on the sidelines, sit on their hands, sit on their gifts, and kind of review these priestly professionals and their performance. And they would say, hey, why are you asking me to do that? You're the professional. That's what we're paying you for. You're the clergy. Don't ask me. My friend, you need to know, tragically, that kind of thing is still a reality in many churches today. And as a result, people are hugely unfulfilled, and the church just kind of limps along, powerless, frustrated, and ineffective in its mission. And guess what? There's not 1 ounce of biblical support for that type of structure. It's not what God had in mind when He created the church. It's nothing like He intended. But you see, there is something, though. There is a ton of evidence in Scripture that God has gifted and called every one of us to carry out God's plan for His church. To be ordinary people who just try to live extraordinary lives. A group of real players on a real team of real world changers. Now, most of you know, because I've been here before, that one of the things I like to do is watch college football. Go Buckeyes. Now, I know for some of you, watching football or any sports of any kind doesn't excite you in any way at all. You could just do without it. Well, I want to tell you about this game, and I think whether you like sports or not, you'll like this. It was a football game, and it was between the large animals versus the small animals. And you see, the large animals take on the small animals. And here's what's happened. They have the coin flip. Small animals lost. The large animals chose to receive the ball. And so the small animals kick off, and an elephant takes the ball for the large animals and starts running down the field. And there were squirrels hanging on and butterflies pecking at his tusk. And it was totally ridiculous, as you might expect. Anyway, at halftime, the score is 42-0 in favor of the large animals. And to make matters worse, because the small animals lost the toss, they had to kick off again to the large animals after the third quarter. So the small animals kick off, and the same elephant takes a ball in the end zone and makes it out to the 5-yard line, and bam, he's dropped. So the teams, they line up for the first time on the line of scrimmage, and the large animals hand off to a rhino up the middle, and bam, he gets dropped again, no gain. So they line up again, and they give the ball to a lion on an end-around. And bam, he's dropped for a loss of yards. And so the next time they hand off to another lion, and he's dropped, no gain. So here it is, it's fourth down, and the large animals decide, hey, what do we got to lose? We're playing the small animals, we're going to go for it, right? So a gorilla takes the ball, drops back into the end zone, and bam, he is thumped. And the ball pops loose, and there's fur flying everywhere, and there's mad scramble. And once the refs blow the whistle and they start pulling everybody off the ball, on top of the football was a little tiny centipede. Touchdown, small animals. And the centipede's teammates, they help him up. And they're like, hey, was that you that tackled the elephant? He says, yeah, that was me. They say, well, what about the rhino? He goes, yeah, that was me again. And the lions? Yep. And what about the gorilla? Yeah, I did that. They said to him, man, where were you in the first half? And the little centipede looks at his teammates and says, I was in the locker room tying my shoes. Now, I told you that long, silly story for this reason, and believe it or not, there is a reason, trust me. And here it is. There's no small player in God's eye. You see, all of you are significantly supernaturally empowered people. We are all teammates with our own God-given uniqueness and giftedness. And when one of us sits out, when any one of us who claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ sits out, the whole team suffers. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 4:10. God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so God's generosity can flow through you. You see, when we use our gifts, when we allow God's generosity to flow through us, we stand back with deep satisfaction and we say, wow, I was made for this. And guess what then? The church also flourishes and the world takes notice of the goodness of God. God says, let the variety, let the generosity flow through men, through women, through children, through young, through old. Just let it flow. Now you need to know this concept is nothing new. This whole concept that everyone has spiritual gifts is not some new model, but it's the original incredible design of God. Let's look again at what it says in today's scripture from 1 Corinthians 12. And this time I want to read it from the message. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of powers are in action everywhere, but God is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. You see, all kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Is that great or what? Only God could say to you and to me, to all of us, everyone who is a follower of Jesus, a gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to you, and everyone gets to benefit from it, and everybody gets to get in on it. You benefit because you start feeling fulfilled by being used uniquely by God. The church benefits because we start playing as a real team. And the whole world benefits and steps back and says, you know what, I think maybe that's what God looks like. Because, you see, we all become God's agents of truth and compassion and generosity and hope like we were meant to be. Now, many of you are probably sitting there going, you know what, that's great. I'm starting to understand we all have this connectedness. We all have this spiritual and supernatural thing. But what is a spiritual gift? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. Well, at least I'm going to tell you what my definition of it is for our purposes here today. So we're going to define a spiritual gift as this. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives each of his children so that together they can advance his purposes in the world. Now, this is important for us to know. You and I are responsible for identifying those gifts, and we are also responsible for developing them. And that means getting the most out of the gift that God has given to us. So let me give you an instance based on me. So God, believe it or not, has given me sometimes the gift of preaching. Now the effectiveness I know is up for debate, but nonetheless, it's my responsibility to work on that. And I've heard a lot of people, a lot of minister friends of mine say, I don't know why when you're planning for a sermon, you work so hard on that stuff. I just get up and let God's Spirit move me. Well, so do I on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday as I'm studying and reading through scriptures and trying to find creative ways to make it connect. You see, God is going to hold me accountable for developing the gift that he has given. Now, make no mistake about it. It's not something I've manufactured on my own. It's simply a gift that God has given me to use in my life. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. All these gifts are activated by the one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. It's not like God hands us a catalog and says, here, pick out a few gifts, put them in order of your favorite, and, you know, if you have a few left over, let me know. Maybe I could leave them for you in your Christmas stocking. But you see, it doesn't work that way. You have no control over the gifts God gives you because, get this, God knows us a lot better than we know ourselves. And I think that's a good thing, because if you are like me, we might ask for gifts that don't fit with who we are. You see, God knows the big picture. God sees us inside and out. And when God gives us a spiritual gift, I can guarantee you it's going to fit perfectly with the core of who you are. Have you figured that out yet? I mean, who you are, how God flows through you, how God has wired you up. Let's look at it this way. There's a bunch of different personality types in this room, I guarantee it. For example, do we have any extroverts in here? This participation. We have any extroverts? They're kind of a little bit, you could see them there, you haven't seen them, they're waving their hands like this. All right, how about this? Any introverts? All right, they're the little quieter types. You see them, they're all kind of like, a few of them get their hands up a little higher. How about this one? You just really lead with your heart. Where are the emotional types at? All right, any huggers here? All the same people who are extroverts, right? All right. How about this? How many of you would rather spend a day at Dollywood and ride all the rides? All right. How many of you would rather be in a secluded cabin by the lake, locked away from society somewhere? All right. You see, we have all kinds. We're all wired differently. But that's the beauty of how God made us. And it is good to acknowledge how God wired you up personal and your personality. Not the kind you wish you had, but how God has uniquely wired you with His infinite wisdom. And when you settle that, when you embrace that reality, you can see how the spiritual gift that God gave you can flow out of who you uniquely are. So once you figure out how God has wired you up and how that gift might flow through you, then you bring that together with something else that God has given you. It's called an innate ability. Now, an innate ability is something that God gives every one of us at a young age. Many of you found out at a very young age that you could do certain things. Some of you might have known at a very young age you were athletic. Some people have the innate ability to sing, and you can tell that at a very young age. And some people don't. If you need proof, how many seasons of American Idol or The Voice have we watched? Or, you know what, it's like this time I remember when I was in seminary and I was serving this church as an associate pastor, and the special music didn't show up one Sunday. And this poor guy got up and sang a solo in church, and it was horrendous. And nobody knew what to say. Then finally, at the end of the service, this man came up to him and put his arm around him, and he said, "Son, I just want to tell you that I'm very proud of you. That took a lot of courage to get up there and do what you did today. But whoever asked you to sing ought to be shot." At least that's what I remember him saying to me. But at least he had the gift of encouragement, right? But there are people at a very young age who find out that they can put things together. They don't even have to read the directions, unless it's bought from IKEA. They just kind of like look at the picture and put it all together and it fits right and there's no pieces left over or anything. And most men think we have that ability, don't we? But anyway, you see, you take the innate ability that God has given you, and you couple that with your unique personality and with your spiritual gift. Then you add some of your life experiences to it, some of the victories that you've had, some of the accomplishments, some of the failures, some of the tragedies that have happened in your life. And you add that to the uniqueness of who you, God wired you up to be. And it all starts to come together. Because you tell me, who better to sit down with someone going through a divorce than someone that's been there? Who better to sit down with the parents of an out-of-control child than parents who have been there? You see, when you put all these things together, you let the generosity of God flow through you, and that is His beautiful design. I think God was genius when He put this plan together. Now, you might be saying, okay, I understand that, but I'm no minister. I've not been called to ministry. Well, I want to go back to our second scripture from today, 1 Peter 2:9. Listen again to what it says. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Friends, when Peter said this, he didn't say this to a minister's meeting. He was saying it to ordinary people like you and me. So let me ask you this. Before you came here today, did you have any idea that you were a priest? Did you have any idea that you were given gifts to be used by God? Did you have any idea today that you were a supernaturally empowered person if you walk with Jesus to make a difference in this world? If you did, then I don't need to explain the rush that you feel when you use those priestly gifts. But if you haven't, then hold on. Because once you discover that, God is going to fill you with joy and purpose like you have never experienced in your life. And you know what? I've been around here enough, I've heard enough stories, and I know that this church is an amazing place. But I don't think you have any idea of how amazing it could truly be if everybody discovered their gifts and their callings as a priest. I don't think you have any idea of how good it would be if instead of hearing Brian preach on a Sunday morning, that you could pass around a microphone in the sanctuary and everyone stood up here and said, "Hello, I'm a priest. And I'm using the supernatural gifts God has given to me. And I have to tell you what, I was made for this." If we did that, it would revolutionize the way people look at churches today. If we did that, I think all of heaven would open up in applause. And they would say, "Way to go, Robertsville Baptist Church. You bunch of priestly superheroes." Amen.